So he says this kingdom can't be divided. Turn over to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. I'm so thankful that you feel the freedom to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do on Sunday mornings when we gather. I'm thankful that that you're just willing to let God do what he does. I am not here to try to drag this out and do whatever I want. That is not my purpose. I honestly want this to be a fingerprint of God, this church to be a fingerprint of God, that when people look at it, they say, those people know God. Because God doesn't live in the building. He lives in us. And that's ultimately what we want. Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, its laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Unless the Lord builds a house. So in other words, where does God live? In us. If we are his house, unless I allow the Lord to build me, I labor in vain. If I come to church as a pastor to only do my purpose on Sunday morning, I'm laboring in vain. I might be called, I might have been divinely ordained to do what I'm doing, but if I get up here and I only do what I think is best, I'm laboring in vain. It's a waste of my time and it's a waste of yours. I take this seriously this morning. Because if God doesn't have his way, there's a world around us that's going to die and go to hell. Because we got people going on mission trips all over the world soon, more than ever. Because we've been to Guatemala, we've been to the Philippines, we've been to Honduras. We've been to different countries. Some have been to China. Some have been to other places. Think what's going to happen. As we make ourselves available, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we begin to spread the good news of the gospel, guess what's going to take place? People are going to hear the gospel and be saved. But if we continue to go about doing our own thing the way that we think it should be done, and God's just patiently waiting, when can I do what I want? When will you allow me to have my way? Because this life isn't about me, it's about him. And if it's not about him in your everyday walk, you're missing it. I'm missing it. When I set up my day and I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? And he gives me something to do and I don't really want to do it, so I don't do it. That's disobedience. I have to learn how to surrender. I have to learn how to not listen to my flesh. I'm amazed at how God just speaks to me about those things. And you know what? This morning, he asked me, don't look at the flesh. Look at my spirit. Look at my spirit. Look at what the Spirit is doing. Don't worry about the flesh. Just look at what my Spirit is doing. And when I look into the heavenlies and I look at what God's, how big he is and how able he is, I see that the Spirit of God is longing to do a work in me that is far greater than I can ever comprehend. But he's also wanting to do that same work in you, far greater than you and I can comprehend as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I find something very interesting in the stories that we read this morning, how God wants to continue to allow us to be a kingdom and a city and a household, because if it's divided, it won't stand. Unless the Lord builds a house, I can't stand. A kingdom, a city, a house will not stand if it's divided. Going back to Matthew chapter 12, just real quickly. Jesus and Beelzebub are two kingdoms. Either I serve Jesus or I serve Beelzebub. Which one do you want to serve? I get to make that choice every single day. I get to walk that out every day of who I want to serve. And when you find yourself going from one kingdom to another, what you're going to find is you're going to get real tired real quick. Real tired real quick, because you know what? God, you cannot enter God's rest. I cannot enter God's rest if I play the part of the world and then I play a part of God. I play the part of the world and I play a part of God. I did that through high school. I could go to Pastor Dave's church, Holy Life Tabernacle, have a great time, worship, pray for people, do all that stuff. But during the week, I could walk away from that and I could just do whatever I wanted to do and not totally ignore everything God just said on Sunday. You know, it's really not that much fun, even though we all struggle with that in some form or fashion. If that's where you're at today, guess what? Today's a great day because God is making us aware that He wants to build me. He's not here to tear you down. He's not here to destroy you. He's here to build you. Unless the Lord builds a house. Was that sound like a builder or what? He loves to build you. Man loves to tear each other down. We're like turkeys. We like to peck on each other. It's not going to do us any good to peck on things that are absolutely not going to change unless you get into the heart of man. The word will not return void. So guess what's going to happen? When you and I speak the word, it goes to accomplish that which is sent to do. But when you and I give our opinion, you got a bunch of people going, yeah, agree. Yeah, I don't agree. Yeah, agree. No, I don't agree. But when God speaks, it should be in a total agreement with whatever He said. Total agreement. Why? Because if I'm in agreement with the Lord that loves to build the house, and I'm His house, He's going to come and want to build me up. Isn't that fun? It's always more fun to watch buildings going up than buildings coming down, right? Yeah, I should do something with that old shack, but you know, it's been around for a long time. But when all of a sudden something happens where you get to build something different, something new, it's always a great blessing. So guess what? God is in our midst this morning because He wants to build us, but He won't build us if we're divided. If my attention this morning is divided between the world and God, He has a tough time building. Because His word tells me that unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain, and the house divided against itself will crash. So ultimately, in my life, when I have built in both worlds, I've come to a crashing point. Was it God's plan that I come to a crashing point? No. Why? Because God's a builder. It was my way of building myself, the world, God, building this, building that, building this, building that. And when I begin to build divided like that, something's going to erupt and something's going to cause it to fall. So I have to learn how to build the way that God wants things built so that it doesn't come down in a crash. So it doesn't come down and completely collapse. I have to ask myself this morning, just like I would ask you to do the same. Am I living in a divided house today? Is my life divided where God is okay in one sense, but on the other hand, the world's okay too? I have to ask myself that. Why? Because God can't build me the way He wants me to be built if I don't allow Him to have complete contractor support, signed, dated, and sealed, say, here you go, Lord, here's my life, build me. Build me. I'll do whatever you ask. I'll do whatever you want. And I allow myself to enjoy that building. Now let's take a look at John chapter 2. Turn over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 2. Verse 12. John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 12, he says, after this he went down to Capernaum, with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. And when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple courts, and he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of the cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned tables, their tables. Verse 16, to those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for my house will consume me. Interestingly enough, Jesus said, how dare you turn my house into a market? When I look at this, I think of this. There's a difference between a market and a house. When you go to a market, you go to buy things that you think you need. How much time do you spend at the market? Some of you can't wait to tire kick and look around. You know what tire kicking is, you're just looking. Or some of you, you know, does anybody ever go to the owner of the market and say, do you have a bed? I'm kind of tired, I'd like to take a nap. No. Jesus said, how dare you turn my house into a market? A place where things are sold, things, you know, people come just to get what they want and go home. How dare you turn my house into a market, a place where you can't get rest, you can't get peace, you can't get, but you can get the temporal things that appeal to your flesh. Sometimes church is like a market. We come, pastor pats us on the back, says a nice prayer, blesses you, takes a little bit of your money and sends you on your way back home. How dare you turn my house into a market? So in all honesty, when the Lord gave me this morning, I'm going, Lord, may it be established so deep in the congregation and in our hearts here that this place never becomes a market, but it stays his house. It stays his house. That whatever he wants done here, we allow him to do. Why? Because if we take over ownership and begin to do only what we want, it becomes a market. It becomes a market. It's a place that only we get to do whatever's comfortable. In fact, we only have certain hours that we're open. If you don't show up between 10 and 12, God, too late, sorry. Gotta go. Come on. We've turned sometimes our house into a market where it's like, okay, God, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. As soon as I'm done, I'm out of here. That's all you get. I'm only going to read for 5 minutes, Lord, because that's all the time I've got, because I've got a house to build, you know. Not in the natural. I've got a house to build. Get it? I can only give you so much time, Lord, because I got to go build myself. The world tells me that the only way I can do that is if I do this and do this and do this. Not to mention what God says in his word. I got all this at 5 o'clock this morning, so hang with me. What I'm saying is that there's an urgency of what God's saying. There's no place to rest at the market. There's no intimacy. Oh, man, get this. All you married couples. When's the last time you went to the market and said, hey, honey, want to go have a baby? Have some intimacy? You want to go kiss a little bit? You always see those people that do that in public. It's like, oh, Lord. Go home. Get a room. Why do you tell them to go home? Because they're in the market. There's no intimacy at the market. There's no intimacy. There's no place where there's a habitation of building and establishing that love relationship that goes stronger than any other. So there's no birthing of the babies in the spirit realm of what God wants to do outside the four walls when we're in the market instead of the house. Oh, God, love that. When you go to the market, does anybody go to town just to go to town, just to go walk around? No. When you go to the market, you usually have a purpose in going there, get what you want and come home. When God wants to be in the house, in his house, he says, I have everything that you need. Everything. There's nothing missing on the shelves of what you need. If you needed $20 today, God would say, got it. If you needed peace today, got it. If you needed love today, got it. If you needed encouragement today, oh, not a problem. We got a lineup. They're all here. They'll encourage you. It's the body. They'll love to encourage you. Why? Because there's no shortage in his kingdom when you allow him to build the house. Unless the Lord builds a house, I labor in vain. You see, a house has daily use where a market only has certain times of use. We don't go to the market every day. We go to get what we need and come home with an abundance so that it lasts a while. But when we go to the house, we have more than enough. We have enough. It's always there. Turn over to John chapter 12. Very familiar passage of scripture. I want to just prelude this a little bit with teaching or sharing with you that there's people that turned God's house into a market. And then there was a woman who came to Jesus and turned it into a house. Watch this. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, and whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Isn't that interesting? They had a dinner for Jesus, but they weren't willing to do anything that made Jesus pleased. A market. Come and buy what you want, but go home. I want you to watch who's completely upset with the woman. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. And she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Have you ever gone to a market and walked in and go, wow, I'd like to have that at my house? Has Walmart ever done that for you? Maybe if you walk through the donut section, I'm not sure. But the reality is when you walk into a market and you go, that's not a fragrance I'm looking to have at my house. But when Mary took this expensive perfume, and she broke it and she poured it upon Jesus' feet, and she used her hair, everything that was expensive and vile to her, she used right at Jesus' feet. Guess who got upset? Those that had turned the house into a market. They turned it into a market where this money could have been sold and could have been given to the poor. Yeah, right. I'm sure that was deep in the heart of Judas's desire. Being a money changer that he was and being the collection man that he was, I don't think that was a part of his life, obviously. Because when someone came and offered something to Jesus, which created an awesome fragrance of the presence of what God is looking for, somebody steps in and says, well, we shouldn't do church like that. People might get offended. Really? I wonder what God thinks. I'm not worried about offending the world because they're already offended. If you're not for me, you're against me. The world is already offended. So don't worry about offending the world. Worry about whether what I'm offering is okay with God. Am I offering God my time to where it's pleasing to him? Am I offering him my finances where it's pleasing to him? Am I offering my abilities to where it's pleasing to him? If I'm not, he says I'm against him. If I'm not for him, I'm against him. So what does that say to the church? We should just go through a whole bunch of ways of doing whatever we think is best and hopefully it's okay with God? No. When we come, like this morning, and we just allow ourselves to say, Lord, this is yours. Have your way. I give my rights up to you so that you can do whatever you want. And when we do that, guess what happens? The whole house was filled with the fragrance of what Mary put on the feet of Jesus. I guarantee you that if I broke a bottle of perfume here in this morning and broke it here, it would be seconds before everybody would be able to smell it. When Mary did this, and she did this upon Jesus' feet, the aroma went through the whole house. In the market, they hurry up, clean it up, and hopefully try to clear the air so that you can't smell that there was an accident. Isn't that interesting? Two different scenarios. In a market, they can't wait to get it cleaned up. At Jesus' feet, they let it linger. They let it go about. Nobody went and opened the windows or anything. They just allowed it to happen just right there in their midst. And Jesus ultimately was pleased with what she did. But look at what happens when you turn it into a market. Verse 4, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag, and he used it to help himself to what was put into it. And then Jesus says something very important. Leave her alone. How many of you know when God talks for you, that's a good deal? I don't ever want to put my hands on something that God wants to do and tell him he can't do it. Because if I do, I'm just like Judas, where I turned his house into a market that only what fits me, pleases me, and allows me to experience whatever I want. That's all that matters. No, the reality is that when I deny myself and take up my cross and follow him, I'm opening up my life to allow him to do inside of me what needs to be done so that what perfume comes out of my life resonates in the whole house to where people say, that's a great smell. And I pray that for all of us, that we come to this place where God is able to have his way. So he says in verse 7, leave her alone. It was intended that you should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made a plan to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. When God's house becomes when God's house stays a house instead of becoming a market where things are just sold and bought and we're only doing this to make people happy. We're not here to make you happy. Happiness is just a feeling. We want you to have the joy of the Lord as your strength. Way different than being happy. Now, does God ultimately make us happy? Yeah, when we allow the Spirit of God to rest in us. But if we're gonna allow him to do certain things, I tell you what, he's gonna be limited to what how much effect. Turn over to Isaiah 55, and this is my last verse I'll share with you this morning. Isaiah 55. If you find that you've maybe, let me put it this way. When God's word speaks to me and shows me things that are not right, there's only one thing to do. Repent and learn how he wants to build. Repent of my wrong and in its place put something greater so that I don't become a house like we read earlier that is clean, swept, put in order, but not occupied. Did you catch that? The house was clean, put in order, but unoccupied. So that what just left me, I'll just use myself for an example, what just left me has the ability to go looking for a house to live in, can't find any place, so he goes and gathers seven friends of his friends, comes back to the house and sees that the house was clean, swept, and put in order, but unoccupied. And he says, well, boys, let's go back in. Woo-hoo! And they come in seven times stronger than what was left. You see, God didn't call us to come and just to look nice. He called us to be a habitation, a place where he dwells, a place that God can come and fill me up and fill you up so much that there is no room for anything else. There is no room for anything else, bottom line. So when I allow myself the opportunity to come to him, if I've been building wrong, don't get all out of whack. Just repent and get on track. Say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, because it is his desire to build you and me correctly. So in Isaiah 55, I want to read this whole chapter because I think it's powerful. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Verse 2 is really important. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Isn't that interesting? When we come together as a church on Sunday morning, if we came here only to do what we wanted to do, we would come here to give money and do whatever, give of our time, our abilities, to do things that don't satisfy. When I live my life any way I want and do whatever I want, and I come to God and make an offering and continue to do whatever I want, no matter what God says, no matter what God's word says, and I continue to do whatever he says, then guess what? I'm in that place where I go and I buy things that don't satisfy. And I'm not just talking financial. I'm talking we invest our time, effort, and energy into things that absolutely will not bring satisfaction to us or to God. But he encourages us to come to him if we're thirsty, if we desire what we have, even if we can't afford it. It doesn't seem like we could ever give God enough. It doesn't matter in his kingdom because he longs for me to have a desire greater than anything else in this world. He says in halfway through verse 2, he says, listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. What an investment. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader to the commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he, has endowed you with splendor. Wait a minute. How could I be endowed with splendor if I didn't have anything to offer him? Because it's not about what you have, it's everything about what he has to give to you. Wow, I love that. See, it doesn't depend on us. It depends on going to him and receiving all that he has. So then he says, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. In other words, remember to build, to eat, and to strengthen yourself with things that God says will strengthen you. Don't go to the world and try to get what they want or what they want to offer you. God has a way of building, and the only way he can build it is if he has the ability to feed you exactly what he has that will build exactly what he wants. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. Verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. In other words, everything around you will get excited when you start doing the things that God wants done in your life, because you become a fragrance. You become something that people smell. You become something that people see, and what you're experiencing is just a presence of God on your life. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. You see, we're not here for ourselves. If I'm only living for me, guess what? I'm gonna lose in this battle. But if I'm here to live for Jesus Christ, he's going to download or bring into my life everything that is needed to cause a fragrance, because I'm going to offer it back to him. Everything he gives me, I offer back to him. Why? Because unless he's given to him first, it won't be enough to reach everybody around you. Prime example. Jesus just got done teaching. 5,000 people surrounding him, not counting women and children. And Jesus says, feed them. That would take lots of money, God. He says, what do you have? Bring it to me. He took it, blessed it, multiplied it, fed thousands to where they had basketfuls left over. That's what happens when you offer what God has. You offer it to him, and in turn, he blesses it and gives it back to you so that it touches and meets the need that is presently around you, whether it's physical, spiritual, financial, emotional, whatever it might be. He's not limited just to food and finances. He's wide open as far as what he can do. And so when you and I allow him to have whatever's ours, and we take our hands off and say, Lord, here it is, and we offer it to you, he'll give it back to you, and he'll be able to multiply it to do more than you could ever do any other way. So this morning, am I a house? Or am I a market? Or am I both? We can be. We can play the game of riding the fence of being a market and coming to God only when we need him. Because we don't need him all the time. Therefore, you know, I've got enough of my own stuff. I can do this on my own, God. So I'm going to do this and this and this. And, oh, we got trouble today. Better pray. We only go to him when we need to go to the market. I don't have any eggs. I ran out of milk. Got to call the neighbors, see if they got any butter. You know what I'm talking about, right? Only go to the market when we need him. But if you build him in a house, you can go to him every day. Every day. In his supply house, there's more than enough. And so what a privilege it is to be a house. I want to encourage you, be a house for God today. Be a house. Don't worry about the market. Don't worry about what the world offers you. It's not that great. God will allow you to manage it and use it, but don't let it be your sufficiency. So be a house, and however the Lord wants to do that. But remember, your life is an offering. Your life is an offering that you can give to him that'll bring a presence like none other. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a house. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of how you want to make a house, how you want to build us. Lord, if there's any way that I have been building, or maybe this congregation has been building, that is not sufficient for the house, we pray for the Holy Spirit of conviction to come upon us and to help us to remove that which is deformed or defective and in its place put something that you would want to build there. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you loved us enough to want to build us correctly, and I pray that it's our heart's desire as well, that we come and buy what you have to offer versus what we think will fix it. We come to you to receive what will help us to be that house that you're looking for, that house that pleases you, that aroma that's pleasing to you, that offering like Mary gave, an offering that causes a fragrance amongst the whole house. So thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, for what's available to us. And Lord, we just look forward to being your house. We look forward to being your house, being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Word of God. We look forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I realize we didn't take an offering, so we're just going to leave the basket over here. Callie, would you do that for me? Just grab it right now. Just lay that back there. If you want to leave your offering back there, if you want to stay and pray, please feel free to do that. And if anybody would like to prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. So just feel free to do that. And as you go, remember, you're a house. You offer a fragrance of God. And I pray that you have the joy of doing that, okay? God's blessing to you. Have a great day.